Taoiseach Liavaracha has come under has been come under attack about the lack of female representation in his cabinet. The numbers are disappointingly low, 7 women out of potential 34 positions. So does this mean that the women that were elected in the Dáil aren't up to the job? Of course not, but it does mean that things really need to change. For more, I'm joined by Niamh Gallagher, co-founder and board member of Women for Election. You're very welcome to Global Village.
Thanks, Dale.
Niamh, I generally thought that this issue was behind us, but it's right back in front of us again. What the heck is going on, Niamh?
Well, absolutely, Dale. We, you know, to say that we're disappointed, I suppose, is an understatement, really, because the issue wasn't dealt with. There's no question. We've still only got 22% of women in the Dáil. But what we did feel was dealt with was kind of the public perception issue, the sense that people want more women elected. They want more women representatives and they want balance when it comes to decision making in our parliament. So it seems that, you know, a new Taoiseach coming in would recognise that. And I suppose,
and someone who ticks so many boxes when it comes to equal opportunity.
Well,
the son of a migrant, he's gay, he's young.
All of those things. But you would just assume that whatever that person did on taking office, that they wouldn't reduce the number of women. That, you know, they would ideally increase it. And they might leave it the same, but certainly they wouldn't reduce it. So we were completely shocked when we saw the number of women junior ministers going from 3 to 2. And the number of women overall, when you look at the figure, is diluted because there are more super junior ministers now and the Attorney General is no longer a woman. So I suppose it's the message that it sends to women out there or to anybody who supports this issue that actually it's not as important as geography. In our Taoiseach's view, and it's not as important as many other things that he has to deal with, and that for us was sort of a warning flag that we need to be so focused on this issue all of the time and not be naive enough to think that just because there was a move at the last election, because there was the gender quota legislation, there was Women for Election with the 1,000 women we put through our programmes, an increase in the number of women running from 15% to 30%, huge momentum. But that actually that momentum can be lost in an instant. And what it's done for us certainly is really galvanise us around.
You're not going anywhere.
No.
Women for Election is here to stay.
Women for Election is ramped up in terms of, I suppose, energy and attitude after this. And we're really focused on the 2019 local elections because, to be fair, on a certain level to Liavaracha, he did have an issue with the number of women elected in his party. So, you know, it's no secret that there's only 22% women elected. Fine Gael has more or less that number, 11 women of 50. So he didn't have huge numbers of women to choose from. And the reason for that is there aren't enough women across the board running and getting elected. So what we need to do to solve that is increase the number running and getting elected at the local elections in 2019, because it's that pool from which general election candidates are drawn. So everybody wants to talk about the cabinet and everybody wants to talk about who's in Leinster House and what role do they have. But actually, if we don't have women running and getting elected at all the county council around the country, unglamorous as sometimes that may seem, we won't have women in the Dáil and we certainly won't have women in cabinet. So what this has done for us is really focus us on those 2019 elections, and it's really timely because we're also running a fundraising campaign, a crowdfunding campaign focused on training 300 women for those elections and raising 50,000 to do that. And what Varadkar's decision and the kind of the picture of those junior ministers outside Leinster House with just 2 women, what that did was give real momentum to our campaign and have hundreds of people come behind us to back that issue of getting more women trained and running for election.
So let's talk about why do women, do you feel women are still reluctant to enter politics? What do we need to do to change that? Because I know your programs are very helpful, but is there, like, I know for a fact that I've been asked many times, still, would you not go into politics? I'm like, no, that's the last thing I want to do. But why is that?
I'm not the journalist, but I'm actually going to ask you, why do you say no, Dale, when asked?
Damn it, I walked into that. I have to say, right now in my life, because I want to spend more time with my family, I know being a politician would take all the hours in the day, and that wouldn't. And I think childcare is probably the biggest issue that stops women, because unfortunately, primary women are still looked upon as being the primary caregiver in the family. So I'd say, I suspect that's what a number one reason.
It is, and that is a big issue.
Phew!
But it's a big issue that we would say affects women at a certain point in their lives, and you know, hopefully, will be something that affects men at a certain point in their lives as well. When we kind of move towards something closer to equality in the area of childcare, but you know. I think women are less reluctant than the sort of rhetoric suggests. So when Michelle and I set up Women for Election, one of the things that we did was we went in to talk to all of the general secretaries of the political parties. And one of the pieces of feedback we got was that they couldn't find women. No matter where they looked high and low, they couldn't find women to run. And then we opened the doors to Women for Election. And in less than 3 years, we had more than 1,000 women come to us and seek training to run for politics. So our sense from that was that the political parties weren't finding the women either because they weren't looking in the right place or they weren't making the right offer.
They didn't know where to look.
Perhaps they didn't know where to look. And I do think there is a small issue that some women, when they want to take that first step, and this is where Women for Election plays a really important role, they don't want to go direct to a party because they're concerned, and this probably applies to men, but they're concerned that if they go to a party, they can't go back. They can't go to another party if they change their mind. So Women for Election has been very important in being a bridge for women from interest to action. So, for example, of the women who've come on our programme, a large portion of them would not have been party members, but often after our programme, they will then join a party or consider running as an independent. So I think that women aren't as reluctant as we think. And the quota has been really important in kind of normalising the fact that women should and can run for politics. And another thing that women that come on our programmes talk about is this moment when they come into the room and they see 35 other women there, 50 often, who have come on this programme because they want to get into politics. And the women will say, I thought I was a bit odd. I thought I was the only person that harboured this ambition. And then I walk into the room and there's, you know, 40 other people saying, I want to do it, I want to do it. And it creates this sense that, yes, running for politics is something that you should say openly you want to do as a woman.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me when I set up my business, when I first went from being an employee to being self-employed, I joined a women's business network. And I remember finding that really important for me to, I suppose, gain that confidence, because there's certain barriers that women experience that men don't, you know. And it was great to be in the company of other women who maybe had set up their own businesses and they were able to mentor me. So I suppose that's what you are for women wanting to go into politics. And are the parties looking to you in relation to getting candidates from you?
Yes. So the parties have been supportive of the work that we've done to date. We would like them to be more supportive. We'd like to seek funding from the parties for the work that we do, because we think that we provide a great service in terms of pipeline. We're finding women that they're not finding. And many of those women would like to join a party, but don't know necessarily the avenue. They have come to
us. And you're training them. You know,
and we're training and supporting
them.
Absolutely, and providing a network. And often after the women get elected. So, for example, after the local elections in 2014, the very next week, we ran a really intensive training day for newly elected female councillors before they went into the chamber. No party did that. So we do provide a very unique service. So the parties do come to us, I would say sporadically, but we do have a very good relationship, you know, in terms of kind of them sending women on the programmes who are new to their party and offering that as a kind of support. But I would say that, you know, in terms of the numbers, the women who come through our doors are probably at a maximum 35-40% sent by a party, and the others women who find us directly and are looking for that kind of way to make the next step in political life.
And this campaign at the moment, you're quite close to your target, aren't you?
So today, Dale, since midnight, we have raised nearly €2,500. That is from individual donations. That's real momentum as the campaign comes to an end. So we've got, as before I came into studio, I checked 43,795,000. We need to raise 50,000. Will switch off at midday on Tuesday. So we absolutely need to have that money in the bag before then. We take donations as low as €5, right up to €5,000, in case you have any very very wealthy individuals listening to the programme today that want to be a super supporter. But the really cool thing about this campaign is that it's not just about making a donation. We have fabulous perks from €10 right up the chain of things that are linked to our mission. So you can buy a Women's History Walking Tour of Dublin with Pat Liddy. You can hear the historian Mary McAuliffe talk about Countess Markievicz at Countess Markievicz's grave. You can buy our cool beanies, badges. You can buy a commissioned poem or short story written by Martina Devlin and Dearan Ní Gréifhe for the campaign. So it's a really kind of, it's a cool campaign. It's on mission, all of those things. And so many people have kindly given their expertise and their time. So what we're asking people to do, I suppose, is log on, go to our Indiegogo crowdfunding page via our womenforelection.ie website, see the perks, buy one, and help us to raise the just about €6,000 that we need to get over the line and train those 300 women before the 2019 elections, and make sure that there is no excuse for a future Taoiseach to reduce the number of women in cabinet, and really to put the emphasis that we need 50-50 at that level to be truly representative.
And here's to a female Taoiseach, Niamh.
Well, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, and it'd be so cool if the future female Taoiseach happened to have come through Women for Elections. I have no doubt.
I'm sure she will have. The women I've seen, I'm absolutely sure that she will have.
That's when you can actually say, job done, I can retire now. So thank you very much, Niamh Gallagher, for joining us here on Global Village from Women for Elections.